Hello. So, thanks for coming to my talk. My name is Masao Uebayashi. I come from Japan. I talk about execute in place support, XIP support in the BSD. This is XIP is a feature to execute programs directly from a block device. I am NetBSD developer and living in Japan, Yokohama, and self-employed. I show a demonstration first to compensate my ability to explain. This is a NetBSD ARM evaluation board running NetBSD on Freescale i.mx. This is running in my house. And this is NFS mounted. And I executed all slash shell, which is put on NFS, and exited. Now, 11 failed forks occurred because the program was taken from over NFS. Now, execute. If I second time, executed second time. Now no page faults because all text page, all pages are put in page cache now. Now I mount a flash ROM as XIP. And it has crunched binaries. And now, it's same program, date on XIP mount. If I execute it, no page fault occurs because this is XIP and no pages are copied. And second time. Okay. this is the highlight of this talk. Actually, XIP is an odd feature and very difficult to demonstrate, and I have no idea how to show better. So the rest is a boring explanation. Okay, so what is XIP? It's a technique, as I said, to execute programs directly from the devices and no memory copy. This is a very simplified picture of its behavior. In usual program execution, kernel copies the target program onto memory, because CPU has to access the program memory mapped manner. And our block devices like hard disk and other block devices like USB disks or those data cannot be accessed memory mapped manner. In XIP, most typically NOR flash ROM, they can be accessed memory mapped way, and the CPU can directly execute those areas. The details is explained later. So who needs XIP? It was considered to be a technique to save memory usage, because some time ago memory was more expensive than ROM. But now it's getting cheaper, and in some cases memories are cheaper than ROM. So emphasis is more about saving power or boot time, because XIP does not need to copy memory when executing programs. It is also said that in Linux world, XIP is used to save memory in mainframe's virtual environment. Because running those many instances on virtualized memory devices, virtualized host cannot know when to copy memory. So by using XIP, those disks are explicitly shared and the memory can save it. I don't know any other example for XIP. So it's used embedded and the mainframes, nothing in between. So how to achieve XIP? In short, don't copy programs onto memories. When programs are executed, they are mapped and implicitly unmapped. So goals. XIP is actually not difficult concept, but it's odd and it fits very badly to Unix design, and or it has not been achieved, because no one can explain how to achieve that, and no one can explain how it should be. So my emphasis, my goal is to explain how to do that, and no hacks, don't use hacks, and keep abstraction of VM and file systems. I don't consider performance at the moment. I will consider it. So when a program is executed, exec system call is called, and in kernel, kernel execution handler reads program header using I/O. Yes. When a program in file system is executed, kernel execution handler read program's header, meaning metadata, using I/O. This is used to map file contents into process's address space. Then later, program execution is transferred to process mapped process text area, and actually address is touched, and then page fault occurs, and actual program data are then copied into memory. Later data is touched, it's copied to memory, and actually a program can access the content. This is expected behavior of XIP. In XIP, the files are put in flash ROMs and its memory addressable area. So this is the goals we have to achieve, and the details I am going to explain. So in this picture, we know that I/O part needs no changes if block devices provide traditional block device interface. And after page fault is triggered, the rest mapping and the copying are done by VM. So we have to change VM. So a brief introduction of virtual memory, but I don't explain these because all of you are supposed to be familiar with this, and especially those who graduated to the computer science department, which I didn't. So, but if I try to explain in my words, this is VM explained in my words. VM does resource management, especially virtual resource, virtual address, and the physical memory. These are different things. And it does on-demand paging. VM have to pretend to have much resources than actually want, and this is done by using hardware that support MMU, and MMU can capture the trapped process and suspend it until it can resume the rest. So we can do slow operation in 400, and we can do many complex things. VM also abstracts objects so that we can access file and devices in the same manner. This is also a simplified view of virtual memory. It basically consists of virtual address space management. This is a very complex component. and it's on top of a physical resource management layer. And its behavior is done by some it's VMs, data structures are accessed in some ways, including a kernel memory, a kernel interface, and the user memory management interface. These are called from kernel's threat context. And there is 400. This is code from fault context. And as I said, it's unlike interrupt context. It captures the running process and it's suspended. We can do slow operations too. And actually, most of difficult tasks is called executed from 400. This is a picture of a virtual resources. NetBSD's VM called UVM has two layered abstraction of objects, meaning there is underlying object layer, which typically points to vNode, and there is an overlay layer called AMAP. If a process maps objects as private, the changes to there is reflected onto overlay layer. Otherwise, program execution, if you execute a program, those changes reflect actual executable file, which you don't want. And there is also a page table. MMU has limited slot of virtual and physical mapping. So our software is responsible to keep virtual to physical mapping and in memory. If MMU loses some entries and want to fill those entries again, these data structures are retrieved from memory, and MMU can refill those entries again. So we can say that power process data structures or data structure consists of main these two components. Its behavior can be set to simply object-oriented and event-driven. And very simply set, we prepare something and later 400 can do the thing. This is the interface between virtual resources and physical resources, meaning per page data structures. If one page, physical page, is mapped by our process. It's kept. VM keeps track of those mappings, and so that's the change to physical memory can be notified to those mappings. For example, if a page, physical page, is mapped by three virtual address processes, and these are shared, and if one process causes this page to be moved somewhere, other two have to be notified. Otherwise, they will see a stale cached wrong content. Okay. This is physical memory management. Physical memory structure can be divided into two parts. That is physical segments and the VM page. A physical segment is a data structure representing a continuous physical memory segment, and it's registered at bootstrap. VM page is a power page metadata and keeps tracks of page's state. physical memory can be composed of multiple physical memory segments. There is one single kernel copy that is a text, date, and the VSS, and they are put in a primary physical memory segment. And the remaining memory can be used for general purpose, many purposes like kernel memory, user memory, or page cache. And there is also permanent metadata allocated in between them. And mainly, each physical page size, physical page chunks has one metadata VM page, respectively. They are allocated at the bootstrap and remains. Physical memory segment. Each physical memory segment has one descriptor for each, and it's associated to an array of power page, VM page metadata. Actually, these VM page are put in this permanent area. Okay. Now I explain for Fortandra. It's VM is main behavior. Fortandra's behavior is composed of mainly two parts. That is paging to keep consistency of page cache and the backing store. And its main process is to return pointer to VM page per page metadata using get pages operation back to forward Foundry. Hardware mappings, meaning TAB MMU's mapping and fitting from on memory redundant page table. Forward Foundry has to call a pmap enter to fill hardware mapping and foods physical address comes from VM page. Forward Foundry does many other optimizations like pre-fault or copy on write, but I omit the explanation here. As I said, Forward Foundry's behavior relies on hardware support. When a process accesses an unmapped area, its CPU catches the process's running context and the calls Forward Foundry. At that time, forwarded process's context is saved, so we can do complex resolution while it's suspended. If paging and hardware mappings are ready, CPU can resume the forwarded context. This is one. Yeah. If a virtual memory, virtual address is not on MMU, Forward Foundry is triggered and page table entry is looked up, and after it's fit, the process can be resumed. But before that, we have to resolve paging. Otherwise, we will access wrong memory where nothing exists. Okay, this is the paging part. So, as I said, UVM has two layers, overlay and underlying object. When a fault is triggered, kernel can look up the faulting page using the bad address passed by CPU. If Forward Foundry checks the page is not overwrite, it calls underlying objects get pages, a pager operation. A pager operation now in turn reads from backing store and fills, allocates our memory, and gives back the VM page reference back to Forward Foundry so that Forward Foundry can refill the missing hardware mapping entry using physical address. So object-specific behavior is abstracted as page by using a pager. VM object is represented as a linear space, and its content is page sized, and its packing store is abstracted. And most typically get the pages and the put pages operations. It's common, I think, common to all BSD. There is a device pager in the BSD. It's used when I'm mapping a device from user. Most typically are frame buffers and are other character devices like audio or it's badly designed and difficult to explain because it has its own special handler, and when traps happens, all the control is transferred to this device special handler. And all these device areas are treated as unmanaged, meaning VM has no knowledge of these regions, so they just maps uncached. This is a problem. This can be problematic for newer frame buffers, which want to accelerate access. So I think Linux and all BSDs are improving these parts. And NetBSD, we have not. I think we have not achieved how to abstract these. Well, I say design is still broken. And it has its own PMAP in the core site, which is ugly. There is also a Vnode pager. It's a group of file system. It group file system into VM. So it represents a file as VM object. So its file's content is mapped, can be accessed as offset. And of course, it can be mapped. So it simplifies things for VM, but all the difficult, dirty things are hidden into a Vnode pager. So in NetBSD, I think no one understands all of Vnode pager. As page cache. There is a word called page cache, which means when CPU accesses file contents, it uses memory as cache. And there is also a CPU cache. So in VM, there is two levels or caches. In the BSD, the VM, there is a framework called UBC, which is difficult to classify. UBC means a unified buffer cache, but what it actually does is unified page cache, unified page cache, meaning that if process mmaps a file, it allocates memory and it's mapped. And if the process accesses the same file using I/O, meaning a read or write system call, the access is automatically remapped, the buffer is remapped into a UBC map, a special map reserved kernel virtual address. And the access is always done solo there. So read-write operation is actually a UIO move onto user's buffer and UBC maps. So there is only one copy of memory. Even if mmap and read-write are used together. So now, what if XIP is used? How XIP bring on the pager looks like? In usual execution, we know the pager. If a file is mapped into process address spaces, we know the pager allocates memory and use it as page cache and actually maps those page cache onto other space. Files, as explained, files metadata is used to calculate the actual offset of file data in block devices, which means that file offset is used to do block I/O. In XIP, those file offset is used to map address space. Note that in a usual vnode pager, the physical address of these page caches don't matter because we can translate address by using MMU. And our physical file offset is used to access block devices, meaning those data are passed to I/O. But in XIP, those file offsets are used to address space, meaning those file offsets or passed back to Fort Handra. This is very different. So, vnode pager for XIP, like I said, the physical address is back to Fort Handra, but now, we cannot use VM page. If in usual vnode pager, the data passed back to Fort Handra is actually a pointer to VM page metadata, and which in turn has all physical addresses. Those physical addresses don't change, never change, because they are allocated at the bootstrap, and physical metadata and the pairs of metadata and the actual physical page never change. In XIP, physical data, physical address changes. In XIP, we cannot use VM page because physical addresses are passed back to fault handler is specific to its fault, meaning specific to activation. So if we abuse, if we allocate a VM page, like a user page cache, and use it to pass physical address, which is broken when multiple CPU can occur, execute fault handlers at the same time. So I changed XIP vnode page, passed it back to the 400 physical passed physical address back to 400 by encoding physical address in VM page pointer, which means that XIP VN on the pager tells to 400 that this is XIP and this is a device's segment and this is the offset to the faulting address from this device segment. All of this information has to told back to 400. So I have to explain this well. So what is device segments? The device segments is like this memory accessible and the directory mapped. So I invented device segment and device page. This is a new concept. Device segments and pages exist on devices and unlike memory segments, these are attached to the system during device configuration. And unlike device page here, character devices before this, these devices, device pages are managed, meaning that VM has knowledge about these device segments, and the VM tracks physical to VM mapping, and VM is aware of these pages and will map these pages as cache enabled. So these device segments may do paging or may not. If we want to do paging for these devices, we have to allocate, of course, our VM page metadata to keep track of states. But and this is not mandatory for XIP, so I will consider it. So this is the change needed for XIP and device segments. So no flash ROM is mapped into physical space, we allocate metadata for that area. Metadata like physical memory segments, and allocate per page metadata needed for managed PV tracking. We don't need all of VM page metadata if we don't do paging. If we allocate whole VM page metadata, it occupies about 3 or 4% of the target segments, typically. So it's kind of waste of memory. So I think I have explained all the things to design XIP, achieve XIP. So by introducing a device segment and device page, and by passing this back to Fortandra, we can pass enough information to Fortandra cleanly. XIP is identified by mount point. Mark mount point as XIP, and the VNode PGR can check if VNode, the forwarding VNode, is XIP enabled or not. If yes, return device page pointer to metadata back to Fortandra. It has enough information for Fortandra to map hardware mapping, refuse hardware mapping entries. We have to teach Fortandra to deal with device pages, because device pages does not need to do paging, and Fortandra has many code to do paging. We have to skip them. We also need a device driver interface to register device pages. Otherwise, our logic is scattered into MD parts. By introducing MI API, we can concentrate our logic in MI parts. Bus space is NetBSD's API provided for device drivers. to abstract underlying bus layer, like meaning physical address management. So device drivers, device drivers are responsible to register their device segments, which can be possibly mapped as managed, like XIP capable now flash ROM, or in the future accelerated frame buffers. VM allocates context, meaning metadata, internally when these functions are called. Okay. This is a difference, like explaining the difference of GPU's physical address and bus address. Operating systems has bus layers to abstract bus access and keep device drivers and bus layers machine independent. Devices like a frame buffer or flash ROM are only aware of their local bus address space. And even if they are mapped into physical address space. So in device drivers attachment routing, device drivers are given a bus address of its belonging bus space, address space. So they are now responsible to register their bus address as possibly mapped as managed. And machine-dependent bus layer is responsible to call VM fix to allocate those managed device contexts. So as I said, XIP is XIP capable devices are mounted. When it's mounted, it's already registered as a device segment, and it already has metadata, meaning a physical segment metadata, and its pointer is in turn associated to a mount point. If later a VNode for pager is called, a VNode pager can check if it's XIP mounted, and if so, it passes back a pointer to device segment cookie back to 4200. So 4200 can fill MMU using its metadata. So uh, if XIP ready file vnode is mapped and the photo handler is triggered, this vnode is associated to XIP ready physical memory segment metadata. So vnode pager calculates offset to from offset within the file, and it returns back metadata and the offset back to Fort Handra. The metadata has a base physical address and file offset, adding file offsets that wanted absolute physical address can be calculated. All the explained code is can be found with a XIP branch on NetBSD's repository. There are many to-dos because I have concentrated on explaining all the things and addressed only basic design. Especially, we need a good abstraction of flash ROM and related devices, because we lack this machine-independent flash ROM layer. Implementing them and test on many architectures is a pain now. Summary, I have implemented basic XIP support for NetBSD. And it should be available in NetBSD 6. And by introducing the new concepts, device segment, device pages, things can be explained cleanly. I think there is no hacks left, and this is one of the cleanest XIP implementation in free available Unix world. Okay, that's all. question.
So, in the diagram, you had the flash ROM showing partitions and file systems inside, but it's going to be mapped linearly into the address space. So
yes.
Presumably, you need to load the executables so that they're contiguous, so that there's no maybe I've answered my own questions. I thought maybe you would need a special utility to create the file system optimized so that there was no block indirection. But I guess it works fine. Yeah, it maps the blocks. Okay. Different question then. Pager, you said you haven't looked at right now and maybe would need for a special case. But I can't think of what you would need pager support for when, in effect, the flash is the backing store as well as the active memory, right? Can you give an example of where you thought a special case might make sense to have a pager?
Could you speak a little more slowly?
many slides back, you said pager.
Yes.